Hey friends, this is Mikey Livid, the guiding teacher of Wild Heart Meditation Center, and I just wanted to let you know we have a young people's retreat coming up for those 35 and younger on November 13th through the 16th at Southern Dharma Retreat Center in Hot Springs, North Carolina. I will be teaching it along with Rachel Tanner Smith, and we're calling it Get Your Mind Right. It's on the Four Right Efforts. So if you want to join us for a weekend of meditation, sign up at southerndharma.org. And there is limited space, so please get at it. Woo! Welcome to the Wild Heart Meditation Center podcast, where we take Buddhist practices and principles and apply them to our everyday lives. If you're enjoying this podcast, please subscribe or follow. And maybe take time to rate us wherever you are listening. And if you feel moved to leave a donation to support our nonprofit meditation center in Nashville, Tennessee, you can leave a donation by visiting our website, wildheartmeditationcenter.org. Peace and love. I hope you enjoy.
Howdy, y'all. My name is Keith Felicity. I am a facilitator of the Wild Heart Online Sangha. We meet every Monday night from 6 to 7 p.m. Central Time. We'd love to have you there. We talk about meditation, we talk about mindfulness, we talk about metta, and all the other stuff that you hear on this wonderful podcast. We do a little bit of meditation, we do a little bit of discussion. Join us online, always on Zoom. We have a link on the website, a link in our Instagram profile. Again, hope to see you at Wild Heart Online Sangha. Peace and love.
It's really cool to watch y'all practice. Very inspiring. Mikey mentioned looking out our window. We can see everyone walking across the field. And it's actually a better view than just looking at the mountains. It's looking at yogis enjoying the mountains. So I wanted to share, just to start, a little bit about my retreat experience. About 8 years ago, I went to Myanmar, which used to be called Burma, to sit a 30-day retreat. And actually, Andrew Beer has been to this place. It's called Panditarama. It sounds like Buddhist Disneyland, but it's the complete opposite. The monastery was founded by a very well-known and respected teacher named Sayadaw Upandita. And Upandita was actually Joseph Goldstein and Sharon Salzberg's teacher at one point. And he was the successor to Mahasi Sayadaw. And Mahasi Sayadaw is maybe one of the main reasons we're here today. He was one of the monastics that made a decision to bring these teachings and practices to lay people, to people like us. And many of you know that part of our lineage at Wild Heart is this Burmese tradition. And if you know anything about the Burmese tradition, it is hardcore. The retreats are very intensive, very disciplined. They wake up at 3 in the morning, and I think I went to bed around 9:30 at night. And you practice formal meditation, the sitting and the walking, for 14 hours a day. At least half of the Dharma talks when I was there were on effort. And not teaching us how to balance our effort and be easeful in our effort. It was on having more of it. And the other half of the Dharma talk started on a different topic and ended on effort. I remember one night he gave a talk on the four distortions of perception. I was like, hell yeah, insight. We're going to talk about impermanence and not self. And the first half of the talk was introducing the sutta. And the second half was, if you apply more effort, how you can overcome the distortions of perception. And as with most monastic retreats, you eat two meals a day. I think you don't eat after 11 a.m. You sleep in a humble accommodation, a hut. You wear humble clothing. The high temperature in Myanmar during February is about 95 to 100 degrees Fahrenheit. And they would not turn their air conditioning on because they reserved it for the hotter months of the year. So I was just staring at wall-mounted air conditioners all around this meditation hall, sitting in 100 degrees. And I was very excited to go here, believe it or not. Part of our lineage, part of our tradition. And it took about 26 hours to get to Myanmar. It was a very long day. I arrived sometime in the early afternoon, and when I arrived, I waited in the kind of admissions place to the retreat center because no one spoke English, and they didn't know what to do with me. I arrived a couple days late. And so they eventually took me into this hut, and they had a tape recorder, old school, and they pushed play on this tape, and Sayadaw Upandita gave me meditation instructions. And so I went through the rest of the day. In the afternoon, I think probably around 2 or 3 p.m., I started meditating. Hour sitting, hour walking, hour sitting, hour walking. It's really the worst time to arrive because they finish their meal, so all you're doing is meditating. And so at 8 o'clock, I was so tired. And I decided I'm gonna do the compassionate thing, I'm gonna go to bed. And so I start walking out of the meditation hall, and the other yogis are getting ready to sit for the last sit of the evening. And I'm walking down the path, and I look up, and there are two monks standing at the end of the path. And I had this moment where I was like, oh shit, I'm gonna get in trouble. And then I was like, no, I'm probably not going to get in trouble. They're Buddhist monks. Like, this is probably chill, right? And so I start walking down the path, and I actually start to get by them, walk onto my hut, and I hear, excuse me? And my heart dropped. And this monk said, where are you going? I said, oh, I'm going to sleep. And he said, no, meditation time. And I said, I know. I thought maybe he thought I didn't get the memo. I said, I've been traveling all day. I'm very tired. And I figured I'll just go to sleep. And he looked at me with a blank face and he said, no, meditation time. And I said, no, I know. I'm just really tired. I thought maybe I'd go to sleep. And I'll never forget, he looked at me with hands in Anjali and he said, please try. Please try. And it broke through the conditioning, my adolescent part that was sneaking out of the house, that got in trouble, and I looked at the kindness in his eyes. Please try. And he just kind of lingered there with me. It was like, you know, he didn't really need me to do anything or want to make me do anything, but he wanted me to practice. And maybe I'm reading too much into it, but it felt like he was like, this is what you're here to do, and I'm here to help you. Like, this is what I'm here for. And I realized later that the please try meant, translated into our culture, you can do it. Mikey talks a lot about cheerleading, right? This demotivational dharma, but there's this motivational dharma. This shit's hard. It's not easy to sit with our experience. It's not easy to sit in the heat. You know, and I think this monk knew that. It wasn't easy for me to come from my culture and be in the hot weather and have not slept and didn't eat lunch and all of this stuff. And to have someone say, please try, to say you can do it, was like, man, they got my back. So I thought halfway through the retreat here, I'd just tell you, please try. For me, loving kindness, metta practice, is about learning to have a relationship. Sometimes a relationship is dry. Sometimes I feel skeptical or distrusting of it. Sometimes a relationship's hurtful. And sometimes it's very connected and beautiful. And isn't it amazing that when we sit, we get to have this rich experience of relationship? We get to have this relationship with the heart and the mind and the body that is sometimes dry, sometimes skeptical and distrustful, sometimes it hurts, and sometimes it's connected and beautiful. Manindraji, Joseph Goldstein's teacher, said, the only way you can get to know your heart and your mind is by sitting down and watching it. And I wish sometimes that I could give people the Dharma, or I could share my own pains and lessons with other people so that they could get them. But you have your own heart and mind. You have your own karma, your own conditioning. You get to build your own relationship with that conditioning. And it's a very empowering thing that the Buddha did, to say that only you can come and see for yourself what that relationship's like. Pema Chodron says, we think that the point is to pass the test or overcome the problem, but the truth is that things don't really get solved. They come together and they fall apart. They come together again and they fall apart again. It's just like that. The awakening comes from letting there be room for all of this to happen, for grief, relief, misery, for joy. So I was thinking today about how the Buddha says that there is a happiness, there is a peace that exists beyond conditions, beyond preferences. There is a happiness that exists beyond feeling good. And so if it's dry or skeptical or disconnected or hurtful at times, I hope you can meet those experiences with ease, with peace, with gentleness, with kindness. And to validate, I have also found it to be true that even though there may be a place that exists, a peace that's so deep and profound that even beyond me getting what I want, even in the 100-degree weather in Burma with the mosquitoes biting me, that I can find a deep and profound happiness in moments like that. And yet, I still hate those moments. This heart and this mind still aches. The body hurts. I still want my preferences to be met. I thought I was going to rural Myanmar, y'all. It's going to be so fucking quiet. There's nothing out there. These people pull PA systems onto the street every night and have like a block party. You can hear 8 different kinds of music all around you all the time. And I have preferences, even in Myanmar. Even traveling all that way, I have preferences. This heart and this mind has conditioning. So with your preferences, with your anger, with your hatred of the way things are, with the pain in your body and your hatred of the pain, with your annoyance of the people around you, with your unkindness, with your lack of consideration, I hope you can bring ease to that part of you. To bring peace, to be gentle, and to be kind. So we're going to talk about cultivating and deepening this practice that we did this started this morning. Really started yesterday. It's all one practice. I wanted to share a little bit about my experience of practicing metta, practicing loving kindness. We've talked about the practice being dry, and we talked about earlier today how we can meet the difficult parts of our experience, to turn our awareness towards the mind and to say, may you be at ease, mind. And also, loving kindness is a cultivation practice. It's about generating this quality of goodwill. And it's about the felt sense of that. Learning that, developing that relationship of, what does this experience feel like? And so what's important to me is not the phrase, it's not saying the phrase. That helps me focus. That's great, that's important. But in cultivating loving kindness, what's important is the quality. You can't explain having warmth in the heart adequately, or a smile on the face. What does that feel like? Patiently waiting beside someone that's taking a while, that's not quite ready, and sitting down and patiently and calmly sitting by their side. The lightening of the mind that we sometimes experience. I think many of us, if you have a meditation practice, have had these moments of mindfulness or loving kindness where the awareness lightens things up. I even consider that a quality of metta. The feeling of laughter, I think, is one of the most relatable. It's one of the most enjoyable experiences. And that can't be intellectually arrived at, right? It's cultivated through a friendship, through a sense of humor that you get each other, a familiarity. It's a relationship. And so much of my practice is about looking at not only cultivating this quality, but also what gets in the way. This is what Mikey introduced this morning. He said, whatever feels like or seems like is in the way is the way. There's a really wonderful bodhisattva vow in Zen Buddhism that it's not the one that I hear the most, but it's my favorite, which is, Dharma doors are infinite. I vow to enter them all. Every moment of experience is your path to awakening. And that sounds deep, philosophical, but it has been my experience that whatever is here is the path. And what a gift the Buddha gave us by not making this something outside of our direct experience. He says that this Dharma that he has awoken to is subtle. He said it's not confined by thought. He says it's difficult to see. It's sensed by the wise. He said it's not easily awoken to. The Dharma is not special or mystical or magical. I mean, I think it has that effect. I think the Dharma is subtle. Mikey talked about our barriers, these obstacles that are paths into practice, are sometimes the stories that the mind tells. On retreat, the planning mind, the comparing mind, the self-critical mind, right? And there's this practice that I've heard described as switching from I am to there is. Mikey said earlier, you're not depressed, you're not anxious, you're not addicted, you're not angry. There's depression, there's anxiety, there's addiction, there's anger. What's it like to explore an experience beyond the need to take it as self? And we don't need to discount experience. We can be really intimate with the anxiety without taking it as self. And I wanted to help to shift our loving kindness practice into this space of deepening this practice into these subtle aspects of mind and body. What if this entire experience, sounds being heard, sights being seen, smells, tastes, sensations, thoughts, what if all of it could be touched with the warmth of metta? What if we could breathe ease and peace, gentleness and kindness through what we're seeing and hearing and smelling and tasting and feeling and thinking? This is the way that the Buddha taught metta. These phrases that we use are a really helpful tool that was developed about 400 years after he died. And the Buddha taught metta, I think, first through this process of what he calls suffusion. It said that we want to practice metta for ourselves. But then we start to break down this idea of me as this separate thing that has my own unique and personal history. And we start to see, I can practice metta through this experience right now. And suffusion is defined as the act or process of spreading a liquid, a color, a quality, usually slowly and subtly over a surface. This is the way the Buddha taught metta, to spread loving kindness through the entire experience, to permeate it through your being, this relational quality of receiving the experience. And so today we're going to deepen the practice, not because it's more special or more intellectual, but because it's more subtle. We're going to do the same practice, but we're going to look deeply into this dance that's alive in the mind and the body. Earlier, the instructions were, may I be at ease. May I be at peace. May I be kind and gentle with myself. May I be filled with loving kindness. And when the attention wandered into a thought, one of these demons that Mikey mentioned, we can look at the demon and say, may you be at ease. May you be at peace. May you be kind and gentle. May you be filled with loving kindness. But what you may already notice is that that demon, that thought, is very dynamic, right? A thought isn't just a thought. A thought is experienced also as sensation in the body a lot of times. Does your body tense up when the worry about something back home comes up on retreat? What happens in the body? There might be an attitude of mind. I may not like the thought that has entered the mind. Or I might get really excited about it. There may be an emotional quality in the body. How about that thought? It may have a tone of pleasantness to it, a quality of unpleasantness. Or the moment that we're in may feel relatively neutral. And so the practice is to deepen this quality of metta throughout the entire experience. And the way we're going to practice this is the same practice. May I be at ease. May I be at peace. May I be kind and gentle with myself. May I be filled with loving kindness. And then as I'm experiencing sound and the attention wanders into sound, may I be at ease with sound. May I be at ease with the quality, the texture of sound, the muffledness or the tinniness of the sound as it's arising. May I be at peace as sensations in the body are explored. May I be at peace with the temperature, the felt experience of the temperature, the sensations of the body. May I be at peace with this tension of the body. As we arrive into moments of the mind, receiving the mind. May I be kind and gentle with this mind. However it is right now. Not needing to change it, not needing to be different. Many of y'all have already had this insight. When you're aware of the thought, a lot of times, the thought disappears pretty quickly. Maybe there's a lingering effect of sensation in the body. After the thought disappears, we can bring our awareness to the sensation. May I be kind and gentle with the sensation in the body. And so the anchor is the heart center. The anchor are these phrases. May I be at ease. May I be at peace. May I be kind and gentle with myself. May I be filled with loving kindness. Everyone got that part? And here's where you get let off the leash. Whatever happens, whatever, a thought, a feeling, a mind state, a sensation, these things aren't supposed to be picked apart from each other. Explore. Notice, oh, what's this in the body here? What's this like? I call it pain, but what is it really like? May I be at ease? Let's bring this quality of loving kindness with us wherever we go. So the phrases I use when I want to explore is I just add a with. I go from may I be at ease to may I be at ease with this, with this, with this. Make sense? Cool. Y'all got it. Shall we practice? All right. Standing up and stretching, shaking it out. Even noticing now, noticing the body now, noticing the mind. Sometimes when I sit down to sit again, I'm like, oh my God, all right, here it goes. May I be at ease with this mind. Hi, mind. Grumpy mind. And arriving into the present experience. Together, we'll take a couple deep breaths in, out, in, and out. taking a moment to sense into the full range of the present experience. We'll begin by arriving into the sounds. Receiving the sounds. May I be at ease with these sounds. May I be at ease as these ears are open and receiving sound. May I be at ease with this experience. From sounds, we can begin to arrive into the body. Taking a moment to receive the body through the felt experience. To explore the sensations of the body. May I be at peace with this body. May I be at peace with these sensations, this temperature, receiving the felt experience of the body. May I be at peace, however things are. Arriving into the mind. It's okay to let the mind do whatever the mind wants. Let it off the leash. And we'll sit here for a minute or two. Arriving into the mind, receiving the mind. May I be kind and gentle with this mind, however it is right now. May I be kind, may I be gentle with this mind. Beyond the phrases, we can even try on smiling at the mind. Generating warmth in the heart towards the mind. These other qualities of metta, the felt experience. May I be kind and gentle with this mind. Arriving into the companion for our practice, the heart center. The sensitive, receptive, the part of us that's affected, that feels. Breathing in and out of the heart center, receiving the heart center as the home base. You can touch in and put a hand over the heart, or imagine as if you were breathing in and out of your own sensitive heart. Breathing in and out of your heart center over and over. May I be at ease. May I be at peace. May I be kind and gentle with myself. And may I be filled with loving kindness. May I be at ease. May I be at peace. May I be kind and gentle with myself. May I be filled with loving kindness. Whatever is in the way is the way. As the attention wanders or wants to explore, the mind, the energy of emotion, the sensation, the feeling tone of the experience, may I be at ease with this mind, with this body, with this experience, however it is right now. May I be at peace with. May I be kind and gentle with this. And may I be filled with loving kindness. Always returning back to the heart center, back to the phrases. May I be at ease. May I be at peace. May I be kind and gentle with myself. May I be filled with loving kindness. thank you for your practice.